The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, and welcome to Psychic Teachers. I'm your host, Samantha Fay.
And I'm Deb Bowen.
And we're very happy to have you join us this week. We got so many wonderful questions and stories that we shared with you for our November Q&A that we've decided to continue it so we can get to everybody's questions and stories. So please pour yourself a cup of tea and sit back and listen as we share some more questions and stories that you all have sent to us either on Facebook or our email, which we really appreciate you all reaching out to do. But before we do that, we're going to start with our animal of the week.
Oh, good. Okay. This is a listener request. Our animal person of the week is orca, which is a large dolphin, actually, better known as a killer whale. And orcas are those beautiful black and white amazing beings that just seem to glide through the water. In many Inuit beliefs, they symbolize family and romance and longevity, harmony, travel, community, and protection. It's said that when somebody travels away from home, orca leads them back home when it's time to go home again. When I was meditating on orca, what I was reminded was that orca is the only sea mammal that also kills other sea mammals. An orca will kill a sea lion or a walrus or a dolphin or another whale. And so they are extremely protective, and part of that has to do with their connection to family. It also has to do with their protection of home. So orcas really are, for many folks, if you're dreaming about orcas or they've come up in your meditation or in your life in some way, it's really about finding home and being connected to your tribe, your people.
Lovely. Our crystal of the week is demeterite. It's a beautiful dark blue stone that helps you become more receptive to angelic and spirit guide communication. It reconnects you to ancient wisdom. And it does lots of great stuff for intuitive development. For example, you can place a piece on your soma chakra, which is right above your third eye chakra, to aid past life recall. You can place a piece behind one of your ears to strengthen clairaudience. You can meditate with demeterite to help remember your soul contract. You can also place it on the soma chakra to cut cords to people no longer serving your higher self. You can meditate to help you get to the underlying patterns behind an addiction or negative pattern of behavior. It's also great for breaking codependency in relationships. And you can also work with demeterite to help you attract your soulmate. The way I became attracted to demeterite is I read it's one of these stones you should have in your oracle or tarot bag. It's said to keep your cards charged up and ready to work with you. So it's a really great stone. It's fairly easy to find. Most metaphysical and crystal stores will have a small tumble piece that you can get to meditate with or put in your tarot bag. So there you have it.
Is it expensive?
No, it's not that expensive. If you get a larger piece, it can be pretty rare and difficult to find, depending on where you live. But the small tumble pieces, you will find for $5, $10.
Good. All right. Thank you for that. Shall I read the first one, Samantha?
Sure.
Okay. Good afternoon, ladies. I have recently started clearing my chakras and meditating and forming it into a habit as I dip my toes into other areas of the metaphysical. During a recent meditation, I had my first true lifelike vision. I had let the meditation take over, and my mind went through a lot of various scenes, and then I saw this spider right in front of my face. Once I was out of my initial shock, I realized I was still meditating and that my eyes were still closed. I'm wondering if you two have any insight on the importance that spider holds. Wow, I love this question for a lot of reasons. One, I love that folks realize that the umbrella concept of all of this work falls under the word metaphysical. So great, I love it. The Lakota word for spider is iktomi. And in the Lakota tradition, It is Spider who helped to weave the world into being. Spider is also representative of our ability to write and to communicate. That's why, particularly in autumn, you'll see those beautiful spiders with those amazing dew-covered webs early in the morning, often between shrubbery and your home. And it almost looked like the web is writing. And that's because that's the way the spider has created it. So a lot of times I think that spider comes into our lives to teach us that we need to write. So if you're being called to write a story or write some kind of letter in your life or whatever it is, spider will help you to do that. So you can call on the energy of spider to help you with that. You can also ask spider to help you in terms of being grounded and centered and finding home, because spiders are very connected to home. And that's why they build these web of connection. But my sense, just my intuition in reading this question, was that this is an invitation to you to write.
Okay. Yeah, our next question says, hello, psychic teachers. Thank you so much for your podcast. It has been an invaluable resource on my spiritual journey. I recommend your podcast to all my friends. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I just had the strangest experience, and I'm wondering if you could help me understand. Today, I was practicing sensing spirit for both alive and past people. I brought out a photo of my grandmother, who passed away around Christmas, and one of my son, who was very alive and well. I focused on grounding, protecting myself, opening my chakras, and asked my main spirit guide to help me sense my son and my grandmother's energies so I could tell the difference between the two. After a few minutes with each picture, I became quite tired and lay down on the couch and closed my eyes. After what felt like a few minutes, I heard a large dog in my house, but I only have two small ones. I heard it drink from the water bowl in the kitchen and heard its heavy footsteps and panting as it walked into the room with me. I wasn't afraid, but confused why my dogs weren't reacting. So I opened my eyes and my dogs were asleep on the couch beside me. No big dog. Strange. I assumed I had dozed off and dreamt it. I closed my eyes again, focused on clearing my mind, and then felt a kiss on the top of my head. Again, I wasn't afraid, more confused, as I was home alone. I opened my eyes, looked behind me, and saw my son sitting on the couch. My head was on his lap, and he looked a few years younger than he actually is. I was surprised, but reached for his little hand and closed my eyes. I could feel his little hand in all its details. It was an incredibly real experience. I opened my eyes again, and he wasn't there, and my hands were folded on my stomach. I closed my eyes, and I could still see everything in the room exactly as it was with my eyes open, but I could see his hand in mine. I grabbed his leg and thought, if I hold it tightly, I'll be able to see it when I open my eyes. But when I opened my eyes, he wasn't there, and my hands were still folded on my stomach. I did this a few times, and then I started to feel I was spinning and jumping from reality to reality. I got to a point where I wasn't sure what was real and if he would be there when I opened my eyes. It was very disorienting and a little distressing. I worked on clearing and relaxing my mind, and everything settled again. My son was gone, but I could hear someone walking in my house. Again, I wasn't afraid, but I was confused why my dogs weren't barking. They bark at everything. I lay with my eyes closed and heard the person come over to me. Suddenly, I felt the strangest sensation on my arm, cold, but in a pleasant, tingly way, and I heard a woman's voice. I don't know what it said, but it was thick with emotion. In my mind's eye, I saw a swirling, bright blue mist by my side. I overwhelmingly knew it was my granny. Emotion hit me like a shockwave to my chest, and I let out a sob. Again, the spiraling began, and I was more than a little unsettled. I wanted to hold my dog to comfort and anchor me. I kept opening my eyes, picking up my dog, and laying back down with him, only to blink and realize my dog was still lying beside me. I don't know how many times I repeated this, and it became quite distressing. Eventually, with tremendous effort, I focused my mind and told myself I would open my eyes and everything would be back to normal. I opened my eyes and my dog was asleep on my chest, and an hour had gone by. I wondered if it had all been a dream, but I've never had one that vivid or memorable, and intuitively, I know it wasn't a dream. What happened to me? It felt like I was lost in a spiritual groundhog day. What can I do to make sure I don't have this uncontrolled, swept-away experience again? Granted, it was quite thrilling. I've never had such an interactive experience with spirit before. It's very exciting to have this breakthrough. Finally, how was I able to experience my son so vividly being here? Wow, Deb. What do you think that was?
Well, the word that comes to mind, although it's not the right word, is bilocation. So it wasn't that she was going anywhere, but that she was so able to connect with the energy of these two people she loved so much that she could put them in her place, in the place that she was.
It's almost like she was dimensionally shifting.
Yeah, that's what I mean by bilocation.
I'd love to know, since her son, who's alive and well, was so much younger in this experience that she had, that makes me feel, because bilocating is being in two places at the same time.
Right.
But these were different times. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
that's
he
why
was years
I do.
Younger. So
yeah,
I wonder.
Why I say, no, it's not the right word.
I'd love to know if the grandmother was alive when the son was that age. I just would love to know if that's parallel lives. Like, is there a parallel life where her son is that age, where maybe she decided to have him later? Or is it that the grandmother could only come through to her if she jumped into this different dimension or somehow went back in a dimensional time for a little bit?
I'd also like to know if there was a time in her past where she had a big, lopy, water-slurping dog. I'd like to know
mm-hmm.
that, too.
I've never had an experience like that. The woman coming up and the comforting feeling, I mean, that was definitely her connecting with her grandmother. I understand that. But I've never had an experience where you connect with someone who's alive, but you're seeing them years in the past. So
the answer is
I'm
we
not
don't
sure.
know.
We don't know. But it's a really cool experience. I would really recommend that she read Robert Monroe's work.
I would too.
I mean, clearly she's excellent, or is about to become excellent, at journeying out of the body. And so
Rather
than focus on preventing that from happening again, I would focus on learning more about it so you can do it at will and control it.
She also might want to read some of Richard Targ's work.
Russell
Targ? What do you think about that?
Russell
Targ. Sorry, Russell Targ.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's a great idea. Russell Targ is the one who worked with the government to train remote viewers.
Right.
That would be a great one as well.
Because it's almost remote viewing-ish in some aspects of what's happened here. So I think
well, that's what reminded me of that experience you had where you saw your friend's son's room so clearly.
Yeah, I did. I didn't touch anybody. I didn't have the physical sense that she had with her child. So
mm-hmm.
fascinating. Good. Thank you for that question. Hello, Deb and Samantha. I had an experience this past Friday that was affirming for me and almost brought me to tears. I didn't get my driver's license until I was 27 and didn't actually get behind the wheel until I turned 28 last month. Driving was scary for me, and I spent my time behind the wheel reminding myself to breathe and talking myself down from anxiety attacks. On day 2 of my hour-long commute to work, I asked Archangel Michael and my spirit guides to protect me and asked for my father, who passed away 12 years ago, to be with me. As a quick side note, over the years, I've asked my dad to send me cardinals as a sign. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I've not asked him for anything now for a few years. That night, while I was driving home from work, I approached a busy intersection and started to feel my anxiety creeping in. Just as I started to feel that overwhelming feeling, my dad's favorite song, Turn the Page by Bob Seger, great song, came on the radio. I turned it up a bit, and instead of focusing on my anxiety, I focused on the lyrics of the song, and it was very comforting to me. Every single day, for the first week that I was driving myself home from work, that song came on the radio just as I was feeling overwhelmed. And one day it came on twice in one drive. That's amazing. I am now more comfortable behind the wheel and have not heard that song for a while. I was driving to work and started thinking about how Samantha once said that our loved ones on the other side sometimes like to come to us when they're driving. I started thinking about my experience and wondered if it was really my dad. Just as I was thinking about this, I saw a bird sitting on the road and started to slow down. As I got closer, I realized it was a beautiful cardinal. It didn't fly away. It continued to sit until I came to a complete stop, and then it looked at me and flew away. In that moment, I knew that, yes, it was my dad, and I was nearly brought to tears. Even though I do believe in the afterlife and the metaphysical, I am always still amazed when I am validated in this way. Wow.
That is such a cool story. I can't remember the last time I've heard that song on the radio.
Nah, you know, that's not usually the Bob Seger song we hear.
That is just miraculous. I love that. And it's such wonderful validation that our loved ones really are always with us, but especially when we call on them and ask them for help. I think that's why you and I always stress, you have to ask. You have to ask for the guidance. You have to ask for the help. And once you get out of the way, boy, they will provide it. Because as soon as she recognized that and saw that was a sign from her dad, then he was like, okay, now I'll throw in the bird. But I feel like he wanted
to. Like I said, Bob Seger, every day. You know,
exactly.
What else do you want here? Okay, here's the bird. All right. You know, that's a great story. Thank you for sharing it.
Okay, our next one says, hi, ladies. I have always had a deep connection on a soul level to the fall season. I'm wondering if you have any information on the subject of seasonal connections. It's hard to put in words, but it is a real something on a soul level. I'm not talking about loving everything pumpkin spice here. I crave fall all year long, and once it's upon us, I yearn for days long ago, days from the 17th century. Images of old books flash in my head. My hands want to feel old wool. It's weird. I get it, and writing it down makes it seem even more weird to me. Are there others that might have a seasonal connection like this? Thank you for reading my crazy question. Well, I don't think that's a crazy question. What do you think of
it? Can I just say I could have written this question? This could be mine. I didn't. This isn't my question to this listener. I could have written this question. I feel exactly that same way. And it coupled for me with this longing for autumn. I grieve when the season changes and we move on. I don't know if part of that is because I am a Libra. So I love this time of year because it's my birth time. But there's also a melancholy sense of this to me. I sometimes will just get mesmerized by leafless trees and their silhouette against the sunset. And while I love them, it brings me to tears. My answer to this person is absolutely. But what might you say, Samantha?
Well, I would agree with that. And I wonder, because she connects this season to spinning wool and reading books and the 17th and 18th centuries. I always wonder if each of us as souls, if we have one or two favorite lifetimes that stand out in our soul memories.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's why we're drawn to certain places or seasons or people, because they remind us of that one or two or three super happy lives that we led.
I think that's an absolute truth. That certainly has felt like that for me. This is wood smoke and fish, and I long for the hills of Cornwall and those cliffs in Tintagel this time of year. And I know it's because of lifetimes there.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get back to our questions.
Okay.
This week, we are being sponsored by Take Care Of. Care Of is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packets right to your door. All you have to do is visit takecareof.com and take a fun, quick 5-minute quiz that asks about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle to determine which vitamins and supplements are right for you, which is really great because so many vitamins you get at the store, you don't really know what are in these ingredients. Is this 100% vitamin A, like they say? But with Take Care Of, you know that everything you are getting is 100%. They are an honest, ethical company. You can trust that the vitamins and supplements you are getting are backed by a scientific advisory board. When you Take Care Of's quiz, which really is not even 5 minutes, it's super quick, it helps you get back on track by creating a vitamin packet to meet your personal health goals. The vitamins come in these really cute individual daily packets with your name on them and an inspirational quote, all delivered right to your door. A portion of your order goes to the Good Plus Foundation, which provides needed prenatal vitamins to expectant mothers. They also offer vegan and vegetarian supplements. I love taking my vitamins every day in my own little packet. I know you do too, Deb, because a lot of times in the morning, I get up, I hit snooze too many times, and then before I know it, I have to run and take the kids to school. But with this, I can just stick the little packet right in my purse, and I can take them with me. I also like personal quotes. I feel like it's a way to set the tone for my day. I read the quote, and I try to carry it with me throughout the day. I've also never been able to take fish oil. I know you take fish oil every day, don't you, Deb?
I do.
I've never been able to because of the back taste and because the pills are so giant. I have a really hard time with that. But on the Take Care of quiz, they ask you, can you take giant pills? And I said no. And so I got the fish oil because they recommended it, but they put it into smaller pills that you can't actually take, and there's no back taste, which I really, really love. So yeah, for sure. 25% off your first monthly order, visit takecareof.com and enter promo code PSYCHICTEACHERS. That's takecareof.com, promo code PSYCHICTEACHERS. And we thank Take Care Of for sponsoring us, and we thank you for supporting our sponsors.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Okay. Samantha, it's clear that there is a crystal for almost any need to remedy or assist in a journey. I'm wondering if there is a crystal that assists in the dying process. I know this sounds kind of morbid, but while most of us are interested in living longer, healthier lives, some of us are just ready to pass on. Is there a stone that assists in this life closure and shutting down of the heart or mind, peacefully, of course? If so, should it be avoided by the rest of us who would prefer to stay around a while? Well, that's a really interesting question, isn't it?
Well, it is. Okay.
One of the stones that I would recommend for this, and I'm sure there are many, but the one I usually recommend for this is spirit quartz. It's a beautiful stone. It kind of has like a little bit of a candle shape. It kind of looks like these little geodes are clustering around a faceted termination point. So it's encrusted with a bunch of little smaller crystals. And it is said to help people who are in the transitioning stage. It is said to be just really spiritually uplifting. And the little clustering of crystals all around the base are said to help you gather your strength as you prepare to leave one plane for the next.
Yeah, spirit quartz does a lot of wonderful things. That's one of its jobs. You were with me the day I bought my spirit quartz, Samantha.
Remember
that day. We were together rock shopping. And I love that stone. You know, there are deaf midwives, people who act as midwives in helping people transition out of the earth plane, just as there are midwives who help people transition into this plane as babies. And I love that idea. And I love hospice organizations where that's a normal part of the process, and walking into a hospice care center with a bunch of crystals to help somebody transition would not be nobody bat an eye. That stone also does a lot of other wonderful things. So
yes,
do some more research on spirit quartz and don't just put it aside because of that being one of its tasks. All right. Hello, Deb. I've recently discovered that I may be an empath. My aunt is a high believer that I am. Recently, we went to a crystal shop with many crystals placed in the middle of the tiny shop, and immediately as I walked in, I felt very overwhelmed, as if I couldn't breathe, and I had almost what felt like anxiety. And that wasn't the craziest part. As soon as a woman who is a psychic walked in, it felt as if a whole wall of energy just hit me. I asked my aunt if she felt any of that, and she looked at me amazed, saying, no, she didn't feel a thing. My aunt then turned me onto your podcast. Thank you. And I've listened to a couple of episodes, but I still don't quite understand this power. Is there any way you could help me understand what all this means? Here's what I would say to you. What you experienced isn't necessarily the task empath. It's sometimes a part of being an empath, but much more so of an intuitive. And being an intuitive and really using that skill and being an empath are two different things. And when you're as new on this path as you are, which is so wonderful because there's a whole big wide world open up before you. I might recommend that you take this very slowly, that you do a whole lot of reading. Both Samantha and I have extensive reading lists on our websites that we recommend that folks begin with this process. You might want to, if you're willing to go back into that store or another, or a Unity Church, for example, and begin to look for a support group that works with teaching you how to work with and control your intuitive abilities would be really helpful to you. And really, slowly. I remember being, Samantha, now you may have been with me on one of those occasions where we were, again, in another crystal store, and I had to walk out. It was just too much.
Yeah.
And I've been at this for longer than I want to tell people how old I am. And sometimes that just happens. And you should walk out and just get some air and regroup and clear your auric field off and before you go back in. Do you have some additional suggestions for her?
I think those are all wonderful suggestions. I don't like the word power. It's not power. It's an ability that we all have. And she's just tuning into it and tapping into it more naturally or innately than the average person, maybe because she has practices in prior lifetimes. I don't know. But this is an ability that we all have. And one of the best ways to start learning to work with it is exactly what Deb said, getting in touch with like-minded community and reading about it and really starting to understand, what are my chakras? Where are they? What do I do with them? What are the levels and layers of my aura? How can I protect myself? But really, even before you start with all of that, I think just recognizing that you have this ability is half the battle. Because then you don't wonder, why do I feel so funny when I'm around this person? And why do I feel so great when I'm around that person? Why does this house make me feel uncomfortable, but that place makes me feel safe? Just recognizing that you have this ability to tune in and sense the unseen or energy is such a great part of waking up and honing and owning your ability.
I think it would be really important to know that there are lots of podcasts out there. I mean, I think she mentioned mm-hmm. she listened to one other of our episodes. We've been on the air for more than 8 years. Every week for 8 years, that's a lot of podcasts to listen to. Mm-hmm. So I hope you enjoy some of them and that they're helpful to you as well.
Okay. Dear Deb and Samantha, thank you for your lovely podcast. I found it while I was renovating my kitchen, and you kept me company through that. Now I'm a keen and loyal listener. I had an experience about 2 years ago that I've never fully understood and would love your insight. A disclaimer to animal lovers, it's a bit sad. I was living in a beautiful mountainous area. The area itself felt magical, and I loved living there. It's very common to see wildlife of all sorts. However, one animal interaction stuck out to me. For some time, I began to consistently see a great gray owl on my way home. He was very often perched on the long driveway or sometimes up by the house. The unusual part of seeing this owl is how often I would see it during the day, considering they are nocturnal, and it was always lovely to see him. It became such a pattern that I often looked for him to welcome me home from work. One day, I was off work around 3 p.m., and out of nowhere, I had no time to react. A great gray owl swooped out of the tree towards my car, looked at me, and boom, I hit him. Wow. I felt awful. I think I went into shock. I had no idea what to do. I had no functional logic. I left him there and went to work. I really regret that. I wish I would have done something. From that day forward, I never saw my owl on the way home, and I haven't seen one since. This was almost 2 years ago. If you feel this is some omen of death or something horrible, please don't tell me. It was something that took me months to recover from, and I still think of it and cringe. Any thoughts you have on this are truly appreciated. Thank you for your podcast. It was a lovely accidental discovery for me that has been such a gift. Well, thank you for that. Well, Deb, you're the owl lady. What do you think?
Well, a couple of things. One is, just for everybody, one of the things that my Lakota friends do is they carry tobacco in their cars. And I'm not talking fancy schmancy tobacco here. I'm talking, you know, Sir Walter Raleigh in a can. Although, you know, you can certainly use Nature Spirit or something like that, but just plain old loose tobacco. And when they see an animal person that is dead on the side of the road, they stop and they get out of their car and they scatter tobacco, just a little bit, just a handful, around the animal person to help send its spirit on out and to thank it for its life, which I think is just a lovely tradition. I think that's just a beautiful thing to do. So I just share that with everybody to suggest that. With losing this owl, sometimes I think animal people come into our lives, teach us lessons about ourselves. And owl wisdom is amazing. Owl wisdom is about just that. It's about wisdom. They are about guarding our dark sides, about guarding our night. And when I say dark side, I mean guarding that side of ourselves that we don't always know, that we're not always open to, that we keep hidden sometimes from other people or from ourselves, that's unknown to us. I'm using it in kind of a Carl Jung kind of way. And so chances are that this great bird came into your life, got your attention for a right good while, and then when his contract was finished and he had done that, then he also gave you the final gift of saying goodbye to you and giving you an opportunity to learn yet more about yourself and about nature and the world around you.
Well said. And it might have been orchestrated to serve as a wake-up call. I remember I saw an owl several times during the day,
and I Googled it, as we all do, and I understand why she said, please don't tell me it's an omen of death, because that's pretty much what Google will tell you. And
it's
not,
I tell
for
people
me,
to stay off Google.
Yeah. It was not true. I saw that owl several times during the day, right around the time when I was doing part-time readings and part-time teaching. And I took it as a sign that I was supposed to bring my gift into the light and not hide it. And so maybe this whole thing was a wake-up call for her on some journey, some stage of her journey, because clearly it woke her up. I mean, she remembered it. She's recalling it. It's still with her 2 years later. But I also want to say sometimes life happens, and I just hope she doesn't blame herself or carry this guilt any longer.
No, I do too. I do too. I think that part of the gift that the owl gave you. One thing that I have to just say real quickly as a part of this, because I have a feeling that many of us have at some point in our cars struck some kind of being, and how awful we felt about that. I was coming home the other night, and remember, I live on an island. And I was coming home the other night, and an opossum crossed the road coming from the ocean side over to the sound side in front of me. And there was a string of traffic behind me, and I thought, oh, no, 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 please, please, please. And he made it across, and life was good, and I was all excited about that. But for a long time, I have, and you all heard us say this, to tell you to encase your car in a bubble of light to protect you. My lovely friend Susan has a different prayer. Susan says, dear goddess, protect your critters from me. And I just
love that. That's a good reminder.
Yeah, so I had started saying that as well. Okay. Oh, this is from a listener from another country. Thank you for this. Dear Deb, I must tell you that you and your dear friend Samantha, thank you for your lovely show. Oh, she is my dear friend. You've helped me a lot and kept me busy with uplifting thoughts and ideas throughout my day. I love listening when I'm working out or walking and sitting at home. I don't like my job and don't feel any at home there. I feel like an outsider, but I'm trying to keep my energy positive until I know how to take my first steps on my true calling. With you, Samantha, and Joel, and my other friends, I can close out my negative thoughts on work and keep it positive. When I feel lost for a while, I asked for someone to teach me, to help me lighten up my path, and then randomly clicked on your podcast. Two nights ago, I woke up at 5:30 in the morning. Suddenly, my boyfriend's alarm clock started to ring, and a yellow light started to swirl around in front of me, and I thought, it's okay. He doesn't have to get up and go to a red light appears. He turned off the alarm. A second time it went on, a green light swirled. And a third time a red light appeared and my boyfriend shut off the alarm and got up. So I said to him, you got up now when the light is red. And he said, he just looked at me with a big question mark on his face. And then I became aware that I was dreaming. So my question is, was this a kind of lucid dream? I know that since I was a child, I can remember dreams very well. And I can put them on pause, get up, go to the bathroom, come back, dream again. Why do I have such a strong connections with dreams? And she asked about 11:11, which we've done a couple of podcasts on. I'm really confused and need to know something about this dream state that I'm in.
I think that is an example of lucid dreaming. And I wonder if the red is like, you know, yes, you have to wake up now. The yellow is caution, it's coming soon. The green is go time. And the red is stop hitting snooze. I wonder if that's an example of her just seeing energy and seeing almost his energy.
Right.
I had a weird experience this weekend. I cut myself really badly with a little saw that I was using for cutting down something in my yard. And I was bleeding and I came in the house to get a Band-Aid. And my daughter was sitting in the kitchen eating lunch, and I didn't say anything. You know, I'm not like a dramatic person. Like, oh, I'm bleeding. I just walked in very quietly, and I had a little towel over so she couldn't see that I cut myself. And she said, Mom, you've got this big red light over your head. Are you mad?
Wow.
And I said, oh, you're seeing my aura. I said, I'm a little mad, frustrated, and kind of in pain. And then I showed her and got my Band-Aid. But she didn't even think about it. She's not one. She's my oldest. She's not one to walk around going, how are your readings today, Mom? Like, she's just not into all of this stuff. She was just eating her lunch, and she just looked up and said, oh, you've got red over your head. So I think we do this. I think we do this in our waking life and in our sleeping life. You know, when you're sleeping and your alarm goes off, I'm sure my aura is red for a moment because I hate hitting that alarm clock so early.
And I just wonder if she was seeing part of her boyfriend's energy in his aura.
Could have been. And, you know, sometimes I think our dream symbols and our meditation symbols, I think we overthink them. And sometimes I think our subconscious has a better sense of humor than we do. And it uses kind of fun, funky symbols. And I think that may have been what she was experiencing. And I don't mean to make light of that. I'm not. But I think our subconscious does.
Mm-hmm. Okay, our next question says, I am 23 and just beginning to step into the metaphysical world. That is the third question where they use that word metaphysical. Isn't that interesting?
I'm so excited. I love the vocabulary upgrade here. This is great.
Okay, I'm so excited to learn everything there is to learn, and I listen to your show almost every day. Thank you for sharing your light and knowledge. I was just attuned to Reiki last week, and I've been seeing wisps of white smoke out of my peripheral vision. What does this mean? Well, that means you got some Reiki. That's one thing I love about Reiki, is it really does awaken your inner vision. I remember when I was getting my Reiki master degree, the Reiki teacher told this hilarious story about how after she was attuned to Reiki, she kept seeing sparks of white light. And it was so intense that she went to two different eye doctors. She was sure there was something wrong with her eyes. And finally, she just had to accept that the Reiki was actually working and she was starting to see energy and lights around people. And our peripheral vision is where adults, anyway, tend to see things that you can't see with the normal eye. It's something about the rods and the cones and the way they form as we grow older that I don't really understand. But there is a scientific explanation, supposedly, as for why people tend to see quote-unquote unseen things out of their peripheral vision. So this is just an example of the Reiki doing its job and working, cleaning out your energy so that your vibrations can rise higher and so that you can see frequencies that cannot be perceived with the normal eye.
Okay. Hi, psychic teachers. Recently, many of my very favorite crystals have been breaking. I know you've said on your podcast that this means that they have served their purpose, but it makes me teary thinking that I can't work with them anymore. It's like my friends have died. My question is it true that they're done once they break? What do we do with our crystals after they break? Thank you and love you both.
Okay. I did write a blog on this years ago. I think if you Google what happens if my crystal breaks, my little blog pops up on that first or second page. If a crystal breaks, it usually means that it's not necessarily done working with you, but it often means that it's absorbed so much of the energy that it's had to absorb for you that it has broken. Now, you can try to prevent that with your other crystals by cleansing them more frequently. You know, for example, you can just burn some sage smoke and just run it over your crystals once a week, or you can get a sage spray and just spray it over your crystals daily or weekly. You can put them out in the sun for an hour or two to charge, or in the moonlight to cleanse and program them. There's so many different ways you can cleanse your crystals. You can just do it with intent, but just giving them a break, pun intended, from absorbing the energy that you're asking them to do with the work with you is a really good way to prevent breakage. If they do break, you don't have to be done with them. There's lots of different things you can do. If I have a stone that breaks, I will put it in a little bag or bowl of loose dried sage and just kind of let it heal or rest for a week or two. After that, I will either continue working with it. Normally what I do is I share the stone. I give it away. If it's really broken and it's got like sharp, jagged edges, I will just return it to the earth. How about you, Deb? What do you do when your stones break?
Well, you know, I got two things to add to that. My very first crystal was on a pendant that the very first psychic from whom I ever had a reading gave me. And I wore that rock around my neck for, more than 20 years. And I used to say, oh, this crystal is full. It's tired. It needs a ray. I got to take it off my neck and clean it. And I was very good with that. And then 2 weeks in a row, the chain broke. I thought, well, okay, maybe I need a new chain. But I didn't get one. And then the crystal snapped in half. And I really then understood it was done. We had done all the work together that this rock was willing to do with me. And I needed a different rock. And that's what I did with it. I actually buried the stone actually on the beach, what I did with it. So generally speaking, yes, there's still something else that you can do. The energy is still there. It may just be different and a different focus in the energy that it has been its intent while it has been working with you when it was whole. Now, some stones, when they break, they're done. Malachite, for example, is an example of that. When malachite breaks, it's done all the work with you it needs or can do, and you really do need to return it to the earth and not work with it anymore.
That's the one that's supposed to warn of something coming down the road, too.
It's also one that you use to work with when you're trying to heal old wounds.
But usually if a stone breaks, it's not warning of anything. It's just, it's tired, it needed to be cleansed, or it's done working with you.
Right.
And it's never easy when a stone breaks. We definitely feel that.
Okay. For several years now, I've had a hard time keeping my energy clear and protected through the night. I practice grounding, clear my energy with golden light, call in the violet flame, use white light and other protective imagery, call in angels and other benevolent beings, including the Archangel Michael. I've used the wording that you both have modeled to command that any beings not of the light leave my home. Before I learned about crystal grids, I tried putting sea salt under the four corners of my mattress. After listening to your show and learning about crystals, I tried gridding my home with black tourmaline and clear quartz. I don't take salt baths because I live in California and want to conserve water. Despite everything I've tried, it's very common for me to wake up during the night from dreams that feel as if they are coming from lower energies. These dreams have a different feel from regular nightmares. They are often more twisted and have a distinctly creepy vibe to them. They've been more prevalent when I shared living space with a person who regularly drank and when I had a neighbor who used mind-altering substances. When I moved to a new home, my sleep was undisturbed at first, and I thought everything was okay. Now it's started again. I tried gritting my bed with labradorite garnet, two crystals I resonate deeply with. There has been some improvement, but near morning, once again, I find myself sensing that there was something not of the light interfering with my dream. Any advice or insight you would have would be greatly appreciated.
Well, first of all, if you put salt somewhere that hasn't been energetically cleansed, it locks that energy in. So I wouldn't mess with salt for a grid, for a bed, or a room, or a home until you have thoroughly cleansed that space with your energy, with the help of your guides and angels, with sage, with crystals, with white light. Secondly, black tourmaline is a great stone to grid your home. Clear quartz, not so much. Clear quartz will amplify the energy of whatever is near it. So if you've got some amped up energy that's negative, clear quartz is going to amplify that. So Deb and I use black tourmaline and other black or brown stones to grid our home. We use clear quartz and selenite in our windows to keep the energy up and highly vibrated. But for gridding, I just use black tourmaline and hematite. That's something to consider. Also, it sounds like she's doing lots of wonderful, great, and positive things. And so another thing I would recommend is maybe some more intense psychic protection. There's a really good book. I think it's just called Psychic Shielding or Your Psychic Shield. And it has in there all sorts of descriptions on how to create different psychic shields, like a mud wall or a mountain or an ice wall, for different things that you're trying to protect yourself from. And she might want to look into some more serious protection around her energy other than white light, something that's more solid and this is a boundary you cannot cross.
I absolutely agree with everything you've said, but I also think that the more energy you put into something, more energy you feed it. For example, and Samantha laughs at me, you all heard this now for 8 years, I'm not going to watch scary movies. I'm not going to say the D word. I'm not going to allow that in my energy. It helps a great deal with the energy in my home.
No, but that's a good point, keeping your energy up and positive throughout the day as much as possible. So maybe avoid the news or the negative person or the scary movie. Keep fresh flowers in your home. Have a water fountain in your home to keep the energy cleared and charged positively.
Uplifting music.
So there's lots of positive things throughout the day you can do. Plants in the house are wonderful as well. But I think just setting some really firm boundaries and shielding throughout the day, not just once a week, but in the morning, in the afternoon, and especially before you go to bed, is going to be really important for her. Okay.
Yeah.
Our next question is kind of long, so everyone bear with me.
Okay.
First off, I love your shows, Deb and Friends, and Enlightened Empaths. I don't remember how I found psychic teachers, but I'm glad I did. You guys are so informative as to the things I've experienced. I've always had this feeling that I was special, but didn't know how or why. At times, I even thought I might be crazy.
That was all disproved when one night I was lying in my bed with my husband. It was pitch black and silent. I was half asleep and I heard a deep man's voice say a whole sentence in another language I'd never heard before. Thinking I was dreaming, I just lay there and didn't acknowledge it. About 10 seconds later, it happened again. This time my husband nudged me and said, "Did you hear that?" I replied, "Yes, I did. Aren't you going to check it out?" Spoken like a true wife. Mind
absolutely.
You, the voice sounded as if it came from the end of our bed, and he would have had to walk past it in the dark to turn the light on. My 6'4", 200-pound husband refused to get out of bed to check it out and simply replied to me, "Let's ignore it and go to sleep."
Oh, good Lord.
Have you guys ever had anyone around you hear voices that you hear? It happened once more that my husband will acknowledge. Again, we were in bed, this time with the lights on in the next room, and again, half asleep, when he wakes me and asks if I heard that. I said, "Heard what?" "I was dreaming of children playing and they were laughing." He then became very silent and wouldn't talk to me and went to sleep. Till this day, he still refuses to talk about both incidents. During this time, I started exploring and researching different religions and denominations. I was raised Baptist and my stepdad was a preacher. The one thing he taught us kids was to keep an open mind and research and explore all religions. So that's what I did, along with meditating and researching crystals and tarot cards. There are several things that have happened to me, but the one that stands out is the time I dreamt of my best friend that I hadn't seen in a while, and I'd just gotten in touch with again. In the dream, we were in a rectangular room with a couch in the middle facing the short end. On the longer sides of the rectangle were two doorways on each wall. No doors, just empty rooms with bright light shining through. This room seemed very familiar. In the dream, my friend is walking around the perimeter of the room, and as she passes through the doorway, her shadow hits the floor, and it's not her shadow. The shadow on the floor is hooved with knees that bend backward. She then sat on the couch, and I proceeded to plead with her. The more I asked her questions, the more agitated she became, until this beast thing jumped out of her and wrapped its hands around my sternum and began to squeeze so hard it hurt in my dream. I have never acknowledged pain in my dreams before or since. I woke from this dream in so much pain in my ribs and back that I was sure it was real. Whatever it was much larger than I and was horned and didn't have skin. It was more like raw, wet muscle. I was terrified and didn't sleep the rest of the night. I didn't talk to her for years after that because I was frightened it would happen again. I put my tarot cards away and quit researching and closed myself down. I later found out she had been hooked on meth and was being abused by her boyfriend. Is that what the dream was trying to tell me? What are your thoughts? I would think so, don't you, Deb?
I would. Golly, there was so much in that question. I'm not quite sure where to start.
I think sometimes when we have an addiction and our dream state is trying to let someone know because we might need help, it might appear symbolically in a dream as a monster. What do they call drug addiction? Isn't that like monkey on my back? Like, isn't there
yes,
like a...
Yes, it is.
Like a lingo for that. And so I wonder if that was just a symbolic way that she intuitively interpreted it. Or I wonder if it is something more nefarious, if there's something negative around her and this boyfriend who were abusing drugs and who was abusing her.
You know, I think when we live in a place and a relationship where there's not only negative but just chaotic energy,
mm-hmm.
we absorb it and we attract it and it multiplies. And
mm-hmm.
so when you get out of that, when you say, no, I will not live in that, I will live in the light, and I will not allow that into my energy field, then you take that control back and you change everything around.
Right. Whether you're talking about the metaphysical world or the real, good old, tried and true reality that we live in now.
Absolutely.
If you keep your thoughts positive, you keep your friends healthy and positive, you're going to avoid a lot of that chaotic energy.
The metaphysical world is not different from the real, quote, real world in many ways. And, you know, there's common ground and there's commonality. And there needs to be, quote, common sense in the metaphysical world as well.
Okay, well, those are all the questions we have for you for this month of November. I'm going to mention our book of the week in a moment, but if you would like to send a question or story into us, don't forget you can email us, psychicteachers@gmail.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, Psychic Teachers, all one word, and send us a message there. If you enjoy this show, please tell a friend and take a moment to subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review. It helps other people to happen upon us, as you heard on some of these questions and stories that we read.
I am starting a couple of exciting new programs in course structure in January. My intro to tarot course will be available again in January, as well as a whole new structure of the way I'm teaching a whole series of metaphysical courses. So take a look on my website and subscribe so that you can be added to my new newsletter that's coming out. And would love to have you learn more about what I'm doing. I'll also be posting to our Facebook page and would love to have you participate in any of all the doings that are coming up in the near future. Thanks.
Perfect. And everybody stay safe during this Mercury retrograde, FYI.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we are also sponsored this week by Audible. If you go to audibletrial.com/psychicteachers, you can try Audible free for 1 month. And here's the cool thing about Audible, their new thing. They have a new member benefit. You get a free book every month, but now you get 2 Audible originals free every month, plus your audiobook. So it's like getting 3 books for free every month with your membership. And what I love about these new Audible originals, I've been eating them up every month, Deb. They're all done with sound effects and different actors that you might recognize and know and love, and music. And it's like listening to a little theater play going on between your ears. It's awesome. This week, I listened to Victorian Secrets, which is hosted by Stephen Fry. It was really fascinating. I will tell you, if you are a mom or a dad, I downloaded this thinking, oh, this is something we can listen to in the car on the way to school. No, because Victorian Secrets is about, like, their hidden sex life and and how Victorian ladies didn't wear underwear and all sorts of stuff I never knew about. But it also has wonderful bits of history in there as well, like the first serial killer and the first female serial killer and just all the hidden underbelly of the Victorian world. It was really interesting, and it's narrated, as I said, by the British comedian Stephen Fry and lots of other wonderful voices. So you can try all of that and so much more at audibletrial.com/psychicteachers.
So thank you all so very much for being with us this week. We hope that you have enjoyed this, and we will be back with you next week with another exciting adventure.
Have a great week, everybody, and be the light.
Take care, everyone.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.